Hey, good day, everybody. This is Dan Young with Total Wellness Radio. Thank you so much for taking time to tune in. In today's episode, episode 395, we catch up with Dr. Christina Campbell. Dr. Campbell is the owner and founder of the Institute for Functional Regenerative Medicine and Naturally Free from IBD. Dr. Campbell is board certified in emergency medicine, certified in functional medicine, and as a doctor of osteopathic medicine, she completely understands that all aspects of our lives impact our health and vice versa. So, we are certainly grateful that you took the time to tune in to this episode of Total Wellness Radio. Sit back and enjoy as we catch up with Dr. Christina Campbell. Welcome, everybody, to this episode of Total Wellness Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. As you know, for all of our wonderful listeners out there, we have a couple of different formats that we like to present on health and wellness here at Total Wellness Radio. One of the topics on an ongoing basis is our Wellness Wednesday segment, where we kind of tackle a topic of the week and from our clinic here in Cheyenne. And today is one of my most favorite type of interviews. I call it origin stories, where we have an opportunity to catch up with other practitioners around the country and have them share with our listeners how they got started, what got them on this path in natural health. And today I have a very special guest. Her name is Dr. Christina Campbell. Dr. Campbell, are you on with us okay?
I sure am. Can you hear me?
You bet. You're coming through loud and clear. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on Total Wellness Radio today.
Well, I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
I know with our busy schedules, it's been a challenge for us to connect, but we're going to make it happen today for sure.
Awesome.
So, yeah, as we get started, you know, everybody's got their own, like, you know, their forte and their areas of interest and the things that they love to speak about. And in kind of getting the conversation started here, what I'd like to have you do with our listeners is just kind of share a little bit of your backstory, take as much time as you like, but we want to kind of talk about what the catalyst was that put you on a path to natural health and wellness.
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's actually a very long story. So I started my journey in medicine as a patient on the other side of the bed. And I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease when I was 12, almost died when I was 14. And it completely changed my life, of course. I wanted to be a dancer and I was a musician. So that was really, I was more of an artist.
Okay.
But I got very sick. And by the time I was out of the hospital, I couldn't walk. And my experience as a patient, I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. And I was so ill and I was already allergic to the only medicine on the market at the time, which was sulfasalazine. So I had a sulfa allergy, so I couldn't take the medication. And, they wanted to do a total colectomy on me at the age of 14.
Oh, no.
And I even had a surgeon stand at, and he didn't even bother to come into my room. He stood in the doorway and told me that if I did not have a total colectomy, I would not make it to my 15th birthday, which was 2 weeks away. So that made me angry. I didn't like him speaking death on me. My first response was, who do you think you are? I was lucky enough to have parents. I was a patient at Shands Hospital, University of Florida, which is a teaching hospital. And my stepfather was on the staff at the dental school. So we had access to the medical libraries. And this is back before the internet even existed. So I had my parents, this is a long time ago. I had my parents pulling articles for me because I could do nothing but lay in the bed anyway. And I wanted to know what I was dealing with. And so I felt like I knew more about my illness and the current research than the people who were threatening me with surgery. And I told my my doctor, and I, you know, God rest his soul, he really did save my life. Dr. Serta, he was the chief of gastroenterology at Shands Hospital at the time, and he was my primary who had admitted me. And I told him, I said, listen, Dr. Serta, I will do anything else, but I can't do that. I can't do that surgery. you're basically setting me up for disability. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's not going to solve the problem. And the next time I get sick, what are we going to cut out? Right.
Yeah.
And I said, but you give me anything else, I promise you I'll do it. I'm just not going to do that. And luckily I had parents that backed me up because I was a minor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this was a Friday afternoon, Dr. Serta and I had this conversation. He said, can I talk to my daughters? So that I can better understand, because I did say a few really sassy things to him.
good for you.
And yeah, and he wanted to better understand where I was coming from. He had daughters that were my age. I said, you can talk to anybody you want, but come back to me on Monday with a plan, please, because I'd like to get myself out of here. And on Monday he did. He came back and he said, listen, I totally understand where you're coming from. I signed all the release forms to release him legally of anything, you know, not standard of care.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, what we're going to do, if you can do it, is we will just have you have complete bowel rest. You'll eat or drink nothing by mouth for a year, 6 months at least, maybe a year. Oh. We'll send you home. Yeah.
Wow.
They put a Hickman catheter in. He said, we're going to feed you through your chest. And then we're going to have to desensitize you to the medicine. So high dose steroids. So you put me on high dose solumedrol through the IV and then onto prednisone. I was on that as he tapered the steroids down while he brought up the sulfasalazine, trying to desensitize me to it so I could use that medicine. And I didn't eat at all. I homeschooled that year. And I think it was probably 8 months when he said, okay, you can start drinking teas. We'll do some liquids, see how you do with that. And by a year I was starting to eat again. And, but he saved my entire colon. I still have it. I'm 52 and I have every inch of my colon.
Congratulations. So, what a testimony.
Isn't that amazing? And what I've realized from that experience was that there was a whole lot, right? That there's a whole lot of things in medicine that needed to be better. And that we really needed doctors who could think outside the box and who could reach a patient on their level, right? Because you can't demand, you can't be a dictator, right? I don't believe in that dictatorship principle, which is very common in conventional medicine.
Yes.
You know, do what I say or get out of my practice. That's not okay.
No.
It's not even a remotely caring attitude at all. And I don't appreciate it. And I saw firsthand that we needed something better. So that was when I felt called to medicine. Of course, by that time I'd been in bed so long, I couldn't even walk. It took me an hour to get up the stairs to my bedroom when I first got home.
Man.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
It was crazy. But, you know, things that are challenging, they make us better too. And that experience made me an incredibly good physician when it came to empathizing with my patients, reaching them on their level, being able to work with them, think outside the box, all those things.
Absolutely.
But so when I applied to medical school, I went into osteopathic medicine, just because of their holistic principle and thought process and their, you know, in the training, the background to begin with. And I liked the hands-on part of it as well. But you know, just like every other medical training, you get a little bit brainwashed into
yes.
the conventional system, right?
Yes.
And so I came out the other side thinking I knew it all. And, you know, I knew all the medications to write the prescriptions and the things, but I wasn't really healing anyone.
Yeah.
And I mean, in my residency training, I did a dual residency in internal medicine and emergency medicine, both. ER because I was really good at it. And I was, as a student, really good at it. It was just my personality. I just did well there.
Okay.
Internal medicine, because I had always promised myself I was going to help other people with Crohn's.
Okay.
But I didn't like it because nobody got better.
Yeah.
I loved my patients and my patient time, but they never got better. And I kept writing prescriptions and they kept hobbling in and, you know, and it just, it sucked my soul. So I finally left internal medicine and I just focused my career in the emergency department for a very long time. I was there for 23 years before I finally walked away.
Wow.
And, you know, the side of the ER where you're saving lives, that's incredibly fulfilling, right? It's very stressful, but it's an incredibly fulfilling practice. But the chronic illness side, you know, it still was dragging me down. And I wanted to solve that. And in my own health journey, in 2011, I found dietary changes. I had no idea that the pasta I was eating was killing me.
Right.
And I'd basically been living in pain every day of my life, you know, ever since I was diagnosed. And mm-hmm. I just thought that was how I had to live. But I found the paleo diet and I started doing that for myself, which was really hard in the beginning. And then all of a sudden, one day I woke up and I was like, holy cow, I'm not in pain. Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Wonder how long that'll last, you know? And then it would come and go. And but I thought, okay, there's something here, right? So there's something in diet. What don't I know? And I just decided to start doing research. And then I found some natural herbs. I found essential oils. I found some other things that began helping me even more. I started detoxing the chemicals out of my home because I found literature on how that could be affecting my immune system. And I, at that time, I was on multiple medicines for my Crohn's. I was on allergy sprays, you know, nasal sprays, Allegra, Claritin, steroids, antibiotics at least two or three times a year. I mean, wow. I was, you know, the typical American. With significant seasonal allergies. And when I did that, I detoxed my home, started using essential oils and other chemical-free personal care products. All of a sudden, I was off all my allergy medicines.
Yep.
Completely. I didn't have the problem anymore. And I thought, okay, what else don't I know, right? So what else don't I know? Because I didn't learn this stuff. I need to know. So then I went on such a deep dive. I mean, I drove my family crazy. I was reading research articles at the dinner table.
You know,
with
what I
in one hand and my fork in the other.
what I've learned so far, just in our few minutes together, is that I love your curiosity.
I mean, we have to be curious, right?
Yes.
How else, that's what physicians should be. We're supposed to be teachers and healers.
Yes.
So you can't teach or heal if you don't know.
Right. Exactly.
To begin with, you have to know the things. So yeah, my husband said, and I started doing these consultations because I was talking about it to people. This is what I found. This is what I'm doing. And it's working. It's amazing. And people would call me and text me, what can I do for this? What can I do for that? So I'm answering these 24/7 too, which is driving my family crazy. And my husband said to me one day, he said, you know, first of all, you have to stop doing that on family time. And he was right, 100% right.
Sure.
And he said, but honey, that's a business. Like, why don't you just open a business doing that consultation? And I thought, maybe I don't have to practice in the ER. Maybe there's a way for me to figure this out. And, so over the following, 5-6 years, I did these consultations kind of on the down low, on the side, cash based. And then during COVID, I launched a telehealth practice, with an official LLC and all the bells and whistles.
Uh-huh.
And it's been incredibly rewarding and people actually get well and they feel better and they lose weight and they, you know, they can come off some medications and, it's been so fulfilling. And then in my own journey, I'm off all my medicines, which is unbelievable to me.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That is a wonderful story.
Isn't that amazing? And I think it's been almost, I want to say 8 years, but I feel like I must be overestimating it. It can't be that long.
Yeah.
That I've been off all my medicines and I have zero symptoms of Crohn's. Zero.
Wow.
None. And that's incredible to me too.
You know what I love so far in our conversation is it's just an example of what is possible. What the amazing... The ability, the restorative ability of the human body, given the right circumstances, internal and external environments, as you've touched on, and then let nature take its course and be patient and be consistent, and the restorative process is possible. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, you have more experience on this particular topic, but aren't you kind of given a life sentence when it comes to Crohn's from the modern medical establishment?
I will never, ever forget the speech I was given the day I was diagnosed because it was, and I was young, I was 12. And I had big dreams of, you know, being married, all this, you know, having a big family. I'm a Catholic girl, you know, I just had a vision of my life. And in 1 hour's visit, or however, it was probably only 15 minutes. It felt like an hour. But in this visit with my doctor who gave me the diagnosis, the official diagnosis based on biopsies and a colonoscopy, he basically dashed my whole life. Like, my whole life was ruined all of a sudden in one moment. And he said to me, okay, you're going to be sick for the rest of your life. You're going to have to take all of these medications to keep it under control. You are going to have, you know, you may not have children. You know, it's going to be hard for you going to school. So you might need extra help. You know, let's talk about the American Disabilities Act and like all this stuff. Oh, and I was like, I'm not going to have kids. I haven't even hit puberty. What are you talking about? I always knew I was going to have a boy, girl, boy first. Like, I've been praying for that since I started praying when I was 14. That was my advice from my mother when I was 14, pray for what you want. I just felt like someone had reached inside my chest and ripped my heart out, you know?
Oh my gosh.
And I thought, how is this even possible? I mean, I'm a baby. I've just started my life. How can it already be over?
So let me ask you this, because you're touching on something that I find fascinating. You went through the mainstream modern medical establishment education model, and you came out with the education that they were providing. Where in that education does it even indicate to someone to look at a 12-year-old child and completely, utterly, in one conversation, potentially damage their dreams for life? Where did that education come in?
That's interesting that you asked that question, and I hadn't actually thought about where did that come from. But I will tell you, it as a resident in the internal medicine programs and working with physicians as, you know, students shadowing the doctors, I remember hearing that exact same speech, and I remember how it affected me. Again,
yeah.
As I'm hearing it given to someone else, it was not something that I remember being taught in the classroom, but I do remember it during clinicals.
Okay.
As just, you know, that clinical knowledge, that's wisdom that's just passed on. This is how you tell the patient they have this diagnosis, and this is what they need to be able to know to expect. And it was just very matter of fact. Like, it was okay. It's just the way it is. It's the way life is, you know. And that's not okay either, to have that kind of apathy around a diagnosis like that is not okay either. But, you know, that's what we're taught. And in some ways, clinicians practice that because think about it. If you took everything to heart, if you see 30 patients in a day and for all of them, you have these diagnoses, right? That's a very difficult job. If you're taking it personally, you're bringing everything into your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we're taught how to put up walls in order to protect ourselves as physicians in medical practice. Right? I mean, I'm sure you experienced that too along the way.
Isn't, you know, and I'll circle back to that, but what you're touching on is so valuable for our listeners. I was under the impression that the number one medical ethic taught in medical schools was to apply informed consent to the patient. Is that still true? In school. Okay. Maybe not in practice, but in school.
Exactly. That's why I laughed. Because, yes, you're taught all about the legalities of informed consent. But the truth is, when you only have 7 minutes to see a patient, right?
Yeah.
'Cause that's what it comes down to. 15 minutes for a first time visit in an internal medicine office and about 7 minutes that you have per patient.
Yeah.
In order to keep a practice running and not in the red, right? I mean, that's from a business perspective, and this is a business, right?
Yeah.
It's a value for value. What a business is value for value. That's every business in the entire world.
Correct.
You provide a service for somebody, they pay you for it. And that's true in medicine too. And, you know, there's kind of a societal, outlook that's bad, right? We're the only occupation that works for free, that doesn't get paid for years. I mean, years sometimes.
Yeah.
The only occupation that would be on call, get up in the middle of the night, leave your family, go save a life and not get paid for 12 months.
Yeah.
How is that possible? So anyway, I think I just went down a rabbit hole. Sorry.
But, no, that's fine.
What was the question? Oh, informed consent.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're taught about all those legalities, but in practice, I mean, do you really have time to read the entire side effect profile list on every medication? You don't.
Yeah.
Because it takes more than 7 minutes to read one on one medicine.
Yeah.
So you hand the patient the prescription. You hope the pharmacist does it.
Yeah.
You tell them, talk to the pharmacist, but they may or may not do that.
Yeah.
You know, you might cite maybe, hey, listen, you know, I just put you on a statin. So if you get muscle cramps or you get this or that, you know, let me know. That's usually what people feel if they're having a problem.
Yeah.
And that's all you do. And the patient goes, oh, okay, I need that for my cholesterol. That's the only way I'm going to prevent a heart attack. So I guess I'll take it. And they have no idea that they're destroying their mitochondria, that they're, you know, coenzyme Q10, which is important for mitochondrial function and cellular energy, is in the toilet now because the statin is sucking you dry of any CoQ10.
Yep.
And now you start getting diagnosed with all these other illnesses. Well, why? Because your mitochondria don't work.
Yep.
And if you can't create energy in your cell, then your cell doesn't work. If your cells don't work, you get diagnoses.
Yep. Yep.
I mean,
it's a vicious cycle.
Exactly. So, there's a lot that's missing. And it's interesting from the other perspective, switching into a functional medicine mindset and taking everybody's health and illness to heart and bringing it all in. Now I really have to deal with my own emotions around what happens to my patients and my own empathy around that too.
Yeah.
Which I didn't have to do as much of. I mean, I won't say I didn't because I did.
Sure.
Especially in the emergency department, but it's an interesting difference, right? And the amount of time that you spend, instead of 7 minutes, I'm spending 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And patients, you know, patients love that because they actually get to sit down and tell you what's wrong.
Yeah. That's fascinating. You know what, you remind me of what I heard recently. Another practitioner said, you know, the facts are these, but the truth is this, right? I mean, the facts are you were educated very well. You know about informed consent in terms of, hey, here's the risk, the benefits, and the alternatives. And the truth of the matter is, in a clinical setting, because it is a business, it's just not covered. It's just not presented to the patient.
Right. Exactly. And you know, and I think I don't want to get myself in too much trouble, but one of the downfalls as of the practice of medicine, I mean, you know, in the past, a long, long time ago, before third-party payers, physicians had direct relationships with their patients.
Yes.
It was a give and take, and it was a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And when third-party payers came in, that relationship was taken away.
Yep.
Right?
Yep, totally.
You're not paying value for value anymore. You're expecting your doctor to do whatever they have to do to fix you, and you're expecting this company to pay for it.
Yep.
And there's no more accountability in that relationship anymore either.
Yep.
So patients are no longer having to be accountable for their health. They're blaming it's the doctor or it's the insurance company or it's that combination. It's not my fault. It's not the fact that I smoked for 20 years or that I refuse to go exercise or that I don't like to go out in the sunshine when I should or that I don't meditate or I don't deal with my emotions or my childhood injuries and traumas. Or, you know, I mean, these things are important to deal with and to know about and to be in touch with yourself. In order to heal, you have to do those things. And people don't want to. They just want to, you know, they want everything to be fast food or, you know, that quick satisfaction. I want to go watch my movie. I want to have my beer. I want to get my fast food. I just want to do what is enjoyable in this moment, regardless of what it may mean down the road. And in fact, it seems like we're not even talking about that in conventional medicine. I have cancer patients that come to me and say, what should I be eating? What should I be, what, you know, what is the best supplements and what is the best, what should I be doing?
Yeah.
My doctor told me I can eat whatever I want. Just eat whatever you can hold down. That's what he told me. And I'm thinking, really? Whatever you can just hold down? Okay, that's, you know.
Yeah.
That's not brilliant.
That's a recipe for staying sicker longer faster, I think.
100%. 100%.
What do you feel now that you've transitioned, you know, during the pandemic in the last 2 or 3 years, what do you feel is the biggest challenge that you face in working with these clients? I know you've touched on some of the hints, but what do you find, you know, specifically your biggest challenge in getting people to realize that they can take that responsibility and that accountability back and restore their health and their vibrancy?
Yes. So I think my biggest challenge is helping people who are sick to see that they don't have to be. They've been sick so long, they've been told so long, they've heard that story, that same story that was told to me, they've heard over and over and over. And I mean, it's just like the little kid who has a dream of being a fireman and is told by everyone in his family, that's never going to happen. You're not a fireman. You're never going to be a fireman. And they never become a fireman because they believe what they're told, right? And people who are sick are being told these stories that are not really true. And I don't think that any physicians in the world are doing this on purpose. I mean, nobody's doing this to hurt people. Nobody is. It's just what they know, what they were taught as physicians, and they don't realize what they don't know. I mean, and look, I was in the same boat. I didn't know what I didn't know. Here I am. I'm a doctor who is in pain every single day, taking 17 medications and then trying to help other people. Well, I didn't know what I didn't know. And honestly, I found out from my it wasn't a doctor who shared the diet changes with me. It was this incredible trainer that I was working with in the gym. I was trying to lose weight after my second baby. I was a house. I was so big. It was not nothing. I could do nothing to get the weight off. And I was talking to him. He had this gentleman had rheumatoid arthritis, and he said, oh, I control it with my diet. Every once in a while I have to take medicine, but most of the time. I was like, what diet are you doing that you can control your autoimmune disease with it? So I found out at the gym that I didn't know. I'm not, I was angry about that for a minute until I realized that wasn't serving anyone. But I was like, wow. So that was my big first aha moment. And once I was able to see that I could get better, I woke up one day and literally I was like, oh, huh, my stomach doesn't hurt. Huh, my hands aren't as swollen. Huh. And I thought, okay, let's see what else I can find that will help me get a little bit better. But if I'm in that same boat, then how can you blame the patients, right? I mean, how can they know better? They can't unless someone says so. That's why these podcasts are so important. That's why this education is so important. Getting out there and sharing this information is so important because people just don't know until they know.
And then are willing, then they're positioned to thrive by taking practical steps of action over time consistently to see that miracle, their miracle unfold.
Right.
Right? And
And being
that's
willing to
amazing.
financially invest in it. And that's a big challenge for people because they're so used to having that third party payer just take care of all those bills. And they have no problem, buying a big screen TV or spending a couple $1,000 on a trip or whatever. But it's very difficult to go from your medical care is always free to, okay, it's a few thousand dollars for me to see someone and get somewhere.
And you and I
And
both
that's a
know
huge challenge.
it is a huge challenge. And you and I both know that it's not free. The perception is it's free. The reality is that they're paying dearly for it with ill health for the rest of their life.
100%. I found some interesting statistics. So with Crohn's disease, inflammatory bowel disease, the average person pays between $10,000 and $25,000 out of pocket. Every year. So every 10, is it every year? The math was, it was $250,000 every 10 years out of pocket. It was something ridiculous. And I was like, so if you're going to pay that, in the uncovered things, the co-pays, loss of wages from work, I mean, all the things, then why not invest $5,000 in a 6-month program? And actually get well and stop having to use your insurance as much and stop being so miserable and be more productive in your life and get advancements in your job because you're doing better because you feel better. You can go to work, but when you're sick and miserable and hurting, it's really hard to perform well. I mean, it
Absolutely.
is. So how can you expect to do well in your job if you're sick all the time, right? And it does. It impacts your bottom line. It gives you a ceiling that you can't break through financially, and that's not okay.
No. So when it comes to, and by the way, everybody listening to the podcast, you can get connected with Dr. Campbell by email. Looks like Dr. Campbell, that's DrCampbell at drchristinacampbell.com. Check out her website and information there. When it comes to your focus now, Dr. Campbell, are you when it comes to product, services, education, you kind of alluded to it, a $5,000 6-month program, but what are you specifically doing with your telehealth company so people listening can become more aware of your services and your products?
Absolutely. And I can actually provide you with a link tree that has some of my first offerings for people. They can jump right in if they wanted to and find me on social media. If you'd like me to give that to you, I can.
Yes, please do. Yeah, we'll actually put that in the description today. So that'd be great.
Okay, perfect. I'll do that. There's a few ways to work with me. And I have a few levels of programs, just kind of depending on where you're at and what you're, number one, able to afford, number two, ready to do, and then depending on how sick you are. So I do have a 6-month program, and for that time, it's 5620 is usually, that's where I'm at right now. Mm-hmm. You get weekly touch points with me. Myself, personal, not videos that come to you and you have to watch them and it seems right. Like it's me, but it's not.
Yes,
actually
yes.
Having a conversation with me every week. You have a chat feature where you can, which is HIPAA compliant, where you can send me a message and I will answer it within 48 hours always. So if there's anything that needs to change, it can change if we need to tweak things. You get consultations every single month, in-depth, long consultations along with those touch points. So it's a lot of support. Honestly, when I found functional medicine for myself, the biggest thing I didn't like, so I loved the concept. I loved that I was getting well, but I noticed that there was a lot of dead time, right? So I went in, I got my initial consult. That was amazing. I had this beautiful conversation with my practitioner. We ordered some labs, and then 6.5 or 7 weeks went by and nothing, no recommendations, no nothing. And I was still miserable.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's 6 weeks that I could have been making some change, any change,
sure,
and doing something. And that didn't happen. And then we met again to review all the labs. And then she gave me told me what to do. And then out the door I went, come back in 6 months. And I thought, and then if I wanted to ask her a question, and I'm a doctor, I'm pretty smart. But I don't always know what she's thinking when she's putting together something for me. Right. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Right.
And I had questions and yeah. I would have to set up another consultation just to have a question answered. And that was not making me happy either.
Right.
I just felt like there needed to be more support. So when I went out into practice, I decided that I would have a program that would support a person from moment one to the end so that they actually had all their questions answered. They got the education, they had the support. We could tweak the protocols. We could, we could make adjustments. We could have the emotional conversations of the things that that are coming up for you that you need to deal with emotionally. Because frankly, emotions and mindset are a huge part of the healing.
You bet.
Even if you didn't have a traumatic childhood, that's not you. You had a beautiful childhood, but you have trauma around being sick. You do. You can't get that far and not have it. It's there. So dealing with those things and also coming to the realization that you can be well and embracing that, seeing yourself well, that requires a real relationship with a practitioner, and you don't get that. So I have this 6-month program because I want people to actually get well.
Yep.
Now, I started out that way with the programs only, and I refused to see anyone in a single consult for many years.
Okay.
But I had a few close friends who were begging me, please just do a single consult for me. Please just do. So there is a way to do a single consult with me. So there's a second way to get to start with me. I do a single consult. We do labs. But with the single consult, I give you some interventions to begin with.
You bet.
We do the labs. I give you more interventions. And then I'm still going to want you in the program if you need it. Mm-hmm. There are a few people who don't need it, right? They're self-starters. They're not that sick. They're just looking for optimal health. That's the person who doesn't need my 6-month program. But, you know, if you have Lyme and mold and you have three autoimmune diseases and you're a smoker, or you're not a smoker anymore, but you were, or you have migraines, you know, three times a month, or, I mean, I had a patient call me. And I also do acute COVID consultations too. Mm-hmm. So I do a few things. Mm-hmm. I have a genetic blueprint program. Mm-hmm. But it was interesting yesterday, I had a conversation, someone who found me and called me and said, can you help me? We have, you know, my wife and I have COVID, and, you know, but we're pretty healthy. And so can you just see us, or can we just, you know? And I was like, well, I'm going to need the intake paperwork done. And I, you know, let me see what I can do to move my schedule around and work you in, which I did, of course. And he said, well, you know, we're really pretty healthy. Well, then I met with them, and, you know, smoker, 77 smoker,
yeah,
you know,
then joint, the, then joint the truth issues, comes out.
Digestive issues for years.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I'm saying, though. People are blind. They think that's healthy.
Well, they think it's normal.
That's what we're telling people in conventional medicine. We're saying, yeah, that's just the way it is. You're 77, so of course you're going to feel like crap.
Yeah. What's happened is we've confused normal with common.
Exactly.
Okay. We've confused normal with common. Oh, that's just normal. Oh, that's just your genetics. Oh, that's just, you know, that's just the way it is. And so people think, well, that's just normal for me to have gas, bloating, nausea, heartburn, poop once a week, and headaches, you know, three times a month. That's just normal. No, it's common because that's the common message.
Right.
It's pretty fascinating.
Exactly. So I said to her, I said, listen, I'm a gut specialist, and when you are better, you should come back and see me, because you may think you're well, but you're not. You're on multiple medications. You have a lot going on, and we can fix it. Like, you don't have to be feeling like this.
Yeah.
And so we'll see what happens with that. But so I can, on the Linktree, it gives you a lot of the information on some of the programs I do.
Excellent.
And the pricing there. And actually, I am having right now, I have a my genetic program is kind of a one and done. And I like it because if you know your computer code, you know how your body's built, then you know what lifestyle to put in it, right?
Exactly.
Because we're defined by where our environment meets our DNA. We're not defined by our DNA. People don't understand that either.
No, they think, and the Genome Project helped us to really, you know, kick that into that direction for medicine today is, you know, the genetics loads the gun, but your lifestyle and dietary habits and toxic loads and traumas and stress are what pull the trigger. And you have choices in that arena. So if there's a 10 to as much as maybe 30% expression of genetic weakness, well, it's because you pulled the trigger.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, good.
And knowing where your weaknesses are so you can strengthen up those areas, and knowing where your strengths are so you can, you know, augment those.
You bet.
That's how you stay healthy. So, so I do have a genetic program where you basically have 2 hours of consultation and education, and a genetic blueprint for yourself for life. So that's kind of a nice place to start. And it's a good way to get to know me too.
Yeah.
So I'll make sure that's in the link tree when I send it to you.
I appreciate that. This has been one of the better, well-rounded conversations I've had to enjoyed having with a practitioner in some time. And as we get ready to wrap up, you know, this segment, first of all, I'm going to capture it on audio recording for the world. Let's promise to circle back and do this again in the future.
Oh, I would love that.
I think you and I could go on for days.
Oh, we could. I'm sure of it. I would love to meet up with you in person and you know, sometime too.
Yes.
I know we live on opposite sides of the country, but that would be amazing. Yeah, we could definitely talk forever, and I would love to do this again anytime.
Yeah, I feel we're locked arm in arm, even though we are across the country. That's true. We are locked arm in arm in the same journey together. So that's exciting.
Yes. It's so wonderful to connect with other practitioners who are, you know, who see what we see and who understand what we understand.
Yeah.
It's refreshing and I don't know, my heart needs it, you know.
It's so desperately needed in every community in the country. And, you know, you and I are blessed. We get to have an impact in our communities. We get to have impact with people around the country that may contact us for our value, as you put it earlier, that we can bring them, kind of stand in the gap between them and the habits that are taking them down a, that slippery slope of long-term chronic illness. We kind of get a stand in the gap, so to speak, of that happening for folks. And it's so fulfilling. But you know what? We're still just scratching the surface, Doc. We're just scratching the surface.
It's true. But the body, as you pointed out earlier, is really amazing. We have so much overlapping biochemistry that really, if you can just improve one area of your life, everything else gets better.
Yes. It has a ripple effect, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So as we get ready to wrap this up, I do have a couple of parting questions. I just got to get them in here. What are some of the goals or the directions you're going to be taking your telehealth on the future? Are you going to be, can we expect a book in the future maybe? Or what are some of your other plans that you're going to be able to share and impact the world with?
I love that you asked me that. Yes, there is a book. I actually have several books that I am planning to write, but I want to write my story first. Mm. So I am working on that. I would like to do some retreats in the future. That's something I'm looking forward to doing with some of my program patients. And that's a dream of mine. I'm not there yet. Putting together some small groups and going someplace amazing and doing an in-depth education and kind of deep dive for healing kind of retreats. I think that would be amazing.
That's wonderful.
I have a lot of plans, so it's hard to list them all, but yes, a book in the future. I'm building a brand new website right now. The one that, it'll still be at the same address. It'll be DrChristinaCampbell.com. But it's going to, I've been working on it for 2 years. It's like my passion project. I really want it to be all the things. So that should be launching here shortly. It's almost done.
I'm excited about our relationship going forward together and maybe collaborating on some of these things. I've learned so much and really appreciate especially your backstory. You do have the level of empathy that most practitioners don't have, and I know it was a horrendous thing for you to go through as a child, but yet the strength and the determination and the experience that you gain from that to share with others is priceless. It's just priceless.
Yes. That I am, I think life throws us curveballs, and if we can find a way to get through them, we can use that to help others. And on some level, I think that's part of why these things happen.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Or at least that's how I explain it for myself.
That's how we get the value from it to share with others. As we walk through our own trials and tribulations and how we were able to overcome that, that's the encouraging and the value piece to others.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. Well, Dr. Campbell, as we get ready to wrap this up, I have one final question, and that is this. For the listeners, if there's just one piece of encouragement, a word of wisdom, a saying that you love that you just latched onto to pull you through your your challenges, what would that piece of encouragement be for our listeners?
I think it would be to listen to your own heart and to know that healing is possible. It's important that you really advocate for yourself. And we physicians, we're smart people, we're educated, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we know what's right for you. And so having your own voice, in your own, healing health journey is important.
Yeah.
You do have a voice. You should have a voice. And if you're working with a practitioner that doesn't allow you to have a voice, then it might be time to find somebody who does.
Yes.
And I don't mean that against any other practitioners. I just mean it. You can't heal if you don't have a good, healthy relationship with your practitioner. So.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. Well, thank you again so much, Dr. Campbell, for taking the time to be on Total Wellness Radio. We do look forward to future episodes with you. So we'll keep that open for everybody. And once again, if you want to reach out to Dr. Campbell, you can reach her at Dr. Campbell, DrCampbell, at drchristinacampbell.com. Dr. Campbell, thanks you again so much for being on.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much.
And as we sign off on this episode of Total Wellness Radio, thank you so much, everybody. Please be sure and subscribe to any of the major podcast platforms you can find Total Wellness Radio. And we look forward to catching up with you in another episode in the future. Take care and be blessed. That's going to do it for this episode of Total Wellness Radio. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day. Remember, if you are a practitioner in the healing arts and would like to have your own interview on Total Wellness Radio, please reach out to me, 307-631-5300. That's 307-631-5300. Send me a text message, your name and your modality, and let's get you scheduled to be on an upcoming episode of Total Wellness Radio.